Welcome to SaaS Unlocked, the place where we get to hear from incredible entrepreneurs and innovators who are revolutionizing the world of business. I'm your host, Chris Cowden, the country manager at Insidia, and we're on a quest to understand the intricacies of building, growing, and scaling a SaaS company. We'll be meeting the CEOs and teams behind the SaaS companies that are revolutionizing the way we do business. Find out more about the products, the solutions, the strategies, what drives our guests, and what they recommend for SaaS startups to unlock their full potential. Up next is Sandra Ijoski, the co-founder, the co-founder and CEO of Collab Writing, who specializes in marketing. She started her career as a marketing intern and now has established herself as a force to be reckoned with. She's joining us today to talk about her journey, the power of knowledge sharing in startups, what collab writing is and does, and how you can leverage collab writing in your startup. We've got a lot to cover. I've got a couple of questions, but first, how are you doing today?
Really well. I mean, here right now, it's kind of winding down. It's the end of the workday, so I'm really excited to just sit down, chat, and share a bit more maybe than the last time we spoke.
Well, thank you again for joining my previous event and demoing collab writing. Now it's the chance to get deeper into why you even started it. So before we go into what collab writing is, I just want to go right back to the beginning. Did you always want to start your own company?
Oh, actually, no. I thought I would be going in a totally different direction with my career. I come from a background studying economics. My major was marketing. So, you know, like your initial idea when you go into marketing, I'm going to work in like a big corporation. I'm going to be a brand manager. I'm going to be doing all those things. But actually, my whole career was so oriented towards entrepreneurship that it just made sense in the end to kind of venture on and jump into building my own company. Even during university, I did some, you know, like volunteer work stuff during some of my first years of studies. But then I got a chance to work on some like nationwide projects here in Serbia that were related to entrepreneurship. And I got to work with young entrepreneurs and working on projects that were supporting them. So that was like my first intro. I got to hear a bunch of people present, do some early pitches. You know, like you get to listen to a lot of people receiving some really great feedback on their presentations and see them building their own businesses. Then I actually tried working in a corporation that lasted for about 30 months. And I saw that it just wasn't for me. I just couldn't really sit and listen to people, you know, this doesn't work and this doesn't work. Or why does it not work? And I would know sometimes why it wouldn't work. But, you know, being 23, 24, no one would listen to me. I was just like the trainee. And then I got a chance to work as a marketing intern in a startup. And I ended up being the CMO at that startup a couple of years later after about 3 years. I spent almost 4 years there. And that was a really amazing opportunity. And actually, my co-founder now is the CEO of that startup. And we worked together for a couple of years before actually deciding to venture on to collaborating.
Yeah, I'm very similar to you. Is like, I love working with startups and will always work with them. Just because that's just, I just love being a part of a team and picking up different skills and just so. So it's really cool to hear that you started as an intern. The first job that I had, it was like, just give me a trial. I want to work for free just to get inside the team. And most of the time you find a way to get some paid work. Do you feel like, and I know this is kind of skipping right to the end of this interview, is how important is it for those that want to be entrepreneurs to get their feet wet inside of a startup, even if it is as an intern position?
I think it just makes it a whole lot easier, and it at least made me more sure of my decision because I knew what it looked like. And, you know, there are good things and bad things about being an entrepreneur. And if you've never done it before, if you've never seen what it looks on the inside, I think that people sometimes just focus on the good without realizing how much actual responsibility comes with it. You know, you don't have a boss, but you're responsible to everyone, actually. You're responsible, you know, to the government. You're responsible to your employees. You're responsible to users, to your clients, to investors. You're responsible to all of these people. And I don't think that people always realize how much responsibility you have to others when you are the boss of a company. I think that sometimes people go into it like, I'm not going to have anyone above me telling me what to do. And that's not always the case when you're actually in the trenches and doing it. But I also think, like, I think that at one point it got really romanticized how, you know, running a startup and doing all this. But I have colleagues from a university that went on to have amazing careers in corporations. And I think that it's just about finding your path. I think that it's much less risky to test out if you really like working in a startup by just being an intern or some early position, just getting that kind of chance to look inside before running your own. And you got to collect so much knowledge. You know, you get to at least learn about the terminology. You know, what are some of the standards when it comes to raising your investment? You know, if someone comes in and says, I want to give you $3 million for 40%, why that might not be a good idea for the long run, because it might be hard to raise next rounds. You know, you learn some of those things when you're actually working in a startup, and you really don't have the chance of getting to know those kind of fine details and kind of, I don't know, things that are everyday workings of a startup if you're not actually in one.
Yeah, I agree with you. And I have never been in startups that have raised money. So is collaborating bootstrapped, or have you been able to gain investors?
So far, we've been bootstrapping, and we also got some money from like local grants and things like that. We have some options for that in Serbia. I'm not sure how many opportunities are there for others in other countries, but it's been a very good way for us to kind of be able to at least build a little bit of a team and build out our product enough so we can get to some early traction. And we are planning to fundraise somewhere in the near future, but our previous startup was bootstrapped. The previous startup where I worked at was fully bootstrapped until the majority share were sold. So I got to see more of that kind of story play out, but we've kind of felt with collaborating that this is the type of product that could really grow on the bigger market, and that with kind of that influx of money, it could help us. It'll help us with that growth.
Yeah, I love that you're very resourceful as a company going to getting grants, and then you have it's going to be exciting for you to get that funding, and I can definitely see collaborating being a superstar. It is already. I've used it, and I've loved using it. But there's so much to learn from the platform. So, what initially inspired you to start collaborating? Was it a problem that you had in a previous startup, and you thought, "Oh, collaborating is a perfect opportunity," or was there a different reason why you were inspired to start something like collaborating?
It was kind of a combination of things. It was a combination of me having the problem of not being able to collaborate very easily with my content writers and people in my marketing team around just the things we would find online. It just didn't make sense to me that I could, you know, I could create highlights for myself, or I can create highlights in some kind of form, but I just wanted something very simple. You know, like I have Google Docs, I can create a highlight and leave a comment and she can see exactly what I meant. I wanted that exact thing on a web page. That was just like the very basic initial idea. Something that would make my life so much easier, because if I'm creating like long-term plans, if we're kind of coming back to some content that started performing well after a couple of months, you know, oftentimes you have to do the research twice because everything gets lost. You know, even if you have a super long spreadsheet with all the links, no one goes through that because it's too long. It's not organized enough, and it's not specific enough for people to actually use it. And one day I was just really annoyed because I couldn't find something. Like I posted a link to my content writer's tasks, and at that time, like 3 weeks ago, it made sense to me, but I just couldn't figure out what exactly I meant with that specific link, with that specific comment. And I turned to my now co-founder, Ivan, and asked him, you know, like, is this really something that's so hard to build? It doesn't seem like it's so out of place, you know, it doesn't seem like too far-fetched. And he was like, yeah, maybe it makes kind of sense. But another thing was that we saw a really big impact on our business, the previous business in TRS, just from doing basic research and knowing our industry, just from the things that were available online, because we were like a general PM tool. And then we kind of pivoted to being more like a telco infrastructure tool for complex project management. And actually the company that acquired us had a company that in their like whole portfolio that did actually those types of projects and saw us very fitting for those type of projects. So us aiming for those companies kind of brought us to that point where we had sort of a successful exit from that startup. And for us, both from like being quite successful with our content marketing and SEO, and then seeing how it impacted our business, like just being knowledgeable of our industry, it really made sense when we started digging more whether should we build this or should we not.
So you saw it in a new startup and you thought, oh, well, let's give it a go. So the problem is big enough for there to be a research and tool out there like collaborating. I'm a huge fan of it. What was your most like enjoyable part of the process in building out the solution? And then how did you get your first customer?
I think just seeing that number go up to 100 weekly active users, I think that was like a threshold in my mind. When we get there, that means that people actually need it, you know, and it came fairly quickly. Like we launched in August, or let's say like publicly the app for people to use. Up until then, we had like 10 to 15 people testing it out. But I think that moment just kind of solidified in my mind, okay, we're building this for someone. There's 100 people that are using it that I don't personally know that find some value in this that we built. And when it came to like our first sales, they actually came through Product Hunt. We did a launch there and we were like, okay, we're going to see if someone buys it. Okay, if they don't, so what? Like we're going to try. And we made a couple of sales. It was like personal pro lifetime deals, very basic. We had a very basic version at that point. But a lot of those users actually kind of stuck by and are still using the app. And it was like a really good moment for us to, okay, so, you know, and especially because the licenses weren't sold like regionally. It was from the US, from Asia, from all over the place. And when you're coming from a small country as a startup founder, that kind of recognition from other markets is really important because no one wants to invest if you're just kind of building something for a very small niche market, because there isn't much room to grow. If you're in a bigger country like the US and you're building for the US market, you know, it makes more sense. But if you're in a small market, it's a bit more difficult. And that was a really also great moment just to see that people from all over the place were finding some value in what we were building.
I love that. Did you create the Chrome extension? Did you always want to create a Chrome extension? Was that the only way that you could build the product?
I think that's what we started from. So that was like the initial idea. When we started talking about how could we make this happen, it was like, okay, so we build a browser extension that's going to be able to do this. But we're always exploring what could we build more. So we're not just going to stay a Chrome extension and then a dashboard. We have plans for a lot of other things. But it seemed like the most straightforward way that we could kind of follow our users along. We didn't want to make people, we saw other tools where, you know, like you have to copy and paste the link somewhere else and then it analyzes the text and then you can create highlights. But I felt like that wasn't something that I would personally be using, you know, like in my workflow, we wanted to really follow people along as they would naturally go through their research. You know, if you're on a web page and you just want to save something, we don't want to force you to do other things that you really won't be doing. So.
Yes, and that's what I like about it. It's just straight from the Chrome extension, from the Chrome. So for those that are listening that might not be thinking about, what's this collab writing? Because we just got straight into the questions. That's on my end. What is collab writing?
So it's very simple. I mean, anyone that's ever used Word or Google Docs, you know, you can create a highlight and leave a comment and then share it with someone, especially Google Docs. You just share a link and then they can see all of your highlights and all of your notes that you left. Basically, we're building that just for the web. So anywhere you are online, you can leave a note, you can create a highlight, and you can share it with your team. You can go through however many web pages, PDFs, that's something that we recently added, and you can also upload your own PDF documents. And you can all share all of those with one link to whoever you want, and they're going to have all your notes sorted so they know exactly what you meant, why you meant it, and what were the key information you found most important. And we're also working on some other new things like video or an audio that will be coming in the next couple of months. And we're really excited about it. We recently added a Kindle integration. So if you're creating notes in Kindle, you can import that to Collaborating and then separate those by the topics you've already created. So we're really trying to branch out wherever people are doing research. We want to be there with you and kind of help you create that knowledge for the long run.
Yeah, it's funny you say that. I was just about to ask, can we add voice notes during the research process so that the team can know that this is our train of thought And this is why we copied this part of the text and why we like comparing it with a different part of text. So I'm glad you're already onto that. And I can see by the roadmap that you have that people have been prioritizing different parts of the roadmap. How important is it for you to really listen to the users at the stage that you're in business right now?
I think that's been one of the most important things that we knew very early on that was going to be important. But throughout the user interviews, we really heard about a lot of other tools that people used up to that point, you know, and then it went in a completely different direction and then kind of just died out because they invested too much of their resources and time into building something that wasn't really crucial. And we really wanted to avoid that. I mean, we went through one startup story, we knew what some of the pitfalls could be. So from the get-go, we really wanted to focus on user feedback and them just saying what their problems are and how they've seen themselves so far, how they've been solving them so far, and then with our tech team being able to figure out the best ways to deliver on those problems that they're having.
So you said a little bit ago about that you're an expert or experts in SEO and content writing. Is that are you focusing on like the content creators as a market, or are you looking at researchers? What's the niche?
Well, we actually started from content marketing as a target. I'm not sure if I'm really the expert for that, but I had success in one company with that. So however we want to frame it, we had a really good run with that for Teodesk. We had some really, really high ranking posts, and we got a lot of value from doing research and building out our content based on that. And with collaborating, we actually started from content marketers and writers as our initial market. But then when we spoke to a couple other industries like business consulting and also R&D teams, heavy research teams, we realized that the process isn't too far off, that the tool that they would be needing is quite similar. So those are like our top three right now, consulting, marketing, and R&D teams. But also academia keeps popping up here and there, because there's a lot of research going into that also. And it's also getting more and more collaborative, and it's also kind of becoming something that where people are looking into using new tools and how it's going to be make it easier for themselves. It's also been really fun having a lot of students on the platform, because a lot of having students from all over the place, because we got like some TikTok reviews and things like that that we weren't expecting, but it's been fun to see how other people view our tool.
Yeah, and I'm talking to somebody who's doing MBA sometime at the end of the week, so I'm definitely going to be referring collab writing to him just for him to help him on his MBA. So what is the ultimate goal of collab writing? Where do you want to take it in the next 10 years?
I think we really want to enable people to share their unique insights and intertwine that with knowledge that they find. So we feel, even from our previous company, that a lot of unique things that we share and that we talk about and that we want to save don't really get saved and then don't really get reused. So, you know, if I come in and write a 10-page piece on whatever I'm an expert on, you're not very likely to go and read it if you need that information. We really want to be there to push the information towards you when we know you need it and not just when you're looking for it. And we really want to kind of help people keep up with everything that's happening, you know, with AI, with all this new technology, kind of bring more sync between that, not just generative AI where you type in what you want, but give you the option to collect your unique insights, to collect your unique pieces of knowledge, and then build something from there. And your team's knowledge, not just your own.
Yeah. I saw on one of the plan features, advanced search. What to you is advanced search, and how's that going to help us use collab writing?
So one thing that we are already having as a prototype in the app is just an advanced way for you to search through things. So one of the most interesting things, you know, okay, you can exclude some certain sources of information or words or if you're having a spelling error, it's going to show up, but our backend being able to recognize what the sentiment behind what you wrote is. So one of the examples we often use is, you know, like, how can I grow my startup? And then we show you a list of texts that don't have to have those words in them, but are maybe telling you how to create good, scalable infrastructure or how to better do your marketing or in things like that, where our backend is able to interpret your question in a way, you know, that's what is the meaning behind this, and then show you the sources that are going to help you answer that question. So that's something that we're either piloting soon, or it could already be live. It's something that we've been testing for the past couple of weeks, and it's been super fun to see how it's been kind of happening and showing up. And another thing is that's very closely related to this is you being able to go to a page, and instead of just finding the exact term, also being able to ask that question, and then us being able to bring you to that segment of the text for you to just have to read a certain paragraph or a certain section of a blog post, instead of you reading through the whole thing or knowing the exact paragraph, exact sentence, exact phrase you want to find. So just making it quicker and simpler and faster for you to get to what you need.
Yeah. I wonder how much time, and you probably know, and I don't know if you can share, but how much time it's actually saved researchers or content creators, like a week, because if you're just using collab writing and you're like, I'm looking at a Google Doc right now, but if you're just using collab writing, how much time is it saving? Because with that advanced search, with copying and pasting into collaborating, looking at so many different docs, for me, it's saving a lot of time. But I wonder what kind of case studies you've got of people saving.
We have several people that shared information with us. For some people, it's up to 2 hours every day. So that's quite a bit of when it comes to like a whole month. Some people would share that it saved them 5 hours every week because, you know, you have to do a report or you have to do like a newsletter. And instead of you having to, you know, spend a whole day researching, you just have a bunch of ideas that you collected throughout the week or throughout the month that you can then turn into something that's an output in just, you know, half an hour because you already know where you're going at it. But so we've had very different testimonials from very different people, but most of it came down to at least a couple of hours every week saved in just that kind of back and forth and looking for information and also just sharing it with people. Even us internally, like we received feedback for one of our presentations in PDF and we were able to just upload it and like leave our notes and highlights. I think we should do this. I think we should implement this like this. I think we should do this. And we were like, oh, wow, this actually is pretty cool what we're doing. It's actually quite good.
Yeah, which kind of leads me on to the next question is, are people using collab writing the way you originally thought it was going to be used, or have your customers kind of shaped the new direction for collab writing?
Well, we've definitely been open to people shaping it with us. I mean, our initial idea was to help people with their online research, and I had like that basic idea of what I needed when we started. But everything that came for some of those like future plans, I think we have it listed on our roadmap, like knowledge triggers, where we bring the knowledge to you exactly when you're on the page that someone has already researched, or next step suggestions. A lot of that information came from our users. And some of the things that we didn't really connect in our heads that could work with collab writing actually made a lot of sense. So honestly, user feedback opened up so many avenues for us to think about for the future. And we've been really grateful. Like we've said so many times that some of the users have been the best consultants. I don't think we could afford to pay such good consultants, and they actually paid us to be using the tool. So yeah, it was so incredible just to hear the insights, especially from power users. It was really, really amazing.
Is power users a platform?
No, I mean, power users of other apps, you know, like when you're talking to someone who's never used a competitive app, they can like it or they cannot like it. But when we had people who've used, you know, half a dozen different tools that are similar to collab writing, and they're using 20 other that are in completely different spaces, their insights were so great and so specific because they're such experts on productivity tools and self-organization tools and team organization tools that it was just really amazing talking to them.
So how did you get that feedback? Was it from Product Hunt, or was it from a specific platform like userinterviews.com?
We would mainly just reach out to our users. You know, we would get some to Product Hunt, some would come to LinkedIn, and we just try to kind of reach out, especially in the early days, directly to those people and just see if they would be open to sharing some of their insights and some of their knowledge. And that, especially in the beginning, I think was the best approach, because they also, I think, like to meet the team. When the product is so young, I think it kind of brings a bit more seriousness to everything, that they know that the product is going to be alive and existing in the next year. So they didn't spend their money on nothing. So I think that that was a good approach early on, just reaching out directly to people and trying to get to as many of them as we could.
Yeah, it's good to have people that invest in you right at the start, and then go live and then have paid users straight away. What was the strategy behind launching on Product Hunt and AppSumo?
Product Hunt initially was just kind of testing the waters to see how big the market was, how the reaction would be. We actually launched an ebook first on Product Hunt because we weren't sure if people are going to be interested in the subject. Like, there weren't too many tools in like our kind of sphere. Okay, there were productivity tools, but this kind of like research and collecting information, we haven't seen so many at that point. There are a bit more now, and there are some really great tools that are kind of in the same space. But it was just kind of to see how people would react. Would we have a market outside what we thought was, you know, our content marketing niche? And it was really a great experience. We would always get a bump in users. We would get reviews. We would get feedback. We would get people who would engage with us. So for us, it was a really positive experience. And with AppSumo, we really wanted to see how far along our journey we were. So, you know, if people pay for our app, how happy they're going to be with our tool. And also presenting it to as many people as we could, bit of brand awareness, you know, see where we could go next with a tool. But we actually learned so much, so many people with great feedback. We've learned about some new competitors that might not be active right now, but were a couple of years ago that people have seen, and some of the things they did like, they didn't like, and suggestions based on that. So it was mostly about growth and exploring where we could go next.
And they've definitely got some great ideas, those Sumo links. So what is your process to research, and how are you using collaborating as a team?
I mean, we use it for different things. So we used it as a research tool, you know, for our marketing team, or just to give guidance on things, you know, like when we were writing press releases and we had a new hire, I could go through a post explaining how to do a good press release and leave my own notes and, okay, this applies to us, this doesn't apply to us. I've done this in practice, this works, this doesn't work. And then I can send her a blog post that has something well explained, but also with my insights attached to it. We've used it for researching competitors. We also use it for things like market research when we're presenting something to investors. Because with our tool, if you send just one link, they also get all the sources to what you research. So they know exactly where you found information, is it relevant? What was our thought process behind why we wanted to share this with them? So we've been using it in a bunch of different ways. Even our developers would use it for their own, like collecting notes and things like that, because a lot of times you find a solution online and then it works or it doesn't work. But if it doesn't work, it usually doesn't really get stored anywhere. So you'll kind of lose that logic behind why does it not work. So yeah, it became kind of a routine for different team members to use it in different ways.
Yeah, that's interesting, because you can always go back and use a search to, if you have the same issue again, and just go back to the exact piece. I like that your team are using it, or that all the different teams are using it, and you're actually using your own product, which is great.
I mean, for me, it makes it much easier to, I don't know, get excited about new features. And it's also made it very easy to communicate with people, especially early on. You know, you have a product and it's used by 20 people. Why should someone talk to you? Why should they feel comfortable talking to you? If you really understand their problems because you had them in some way, shape, and form, they're usually much more comfortable just sharing the information with you and opening up about other maybe issues that they're having with their workflows and actually testing out the solution, because they feel like, okay, this person might understand a bit more about my problem and the product might make sense.
Yeah, and then you're in more invested in the customer journey and the new features that are coming. So before we go into some quick fire questions to learn a little bit more about you, you spoke about investment and going to the next step. What kind of support are you looking to get as you grow and scale, other than investment?
Someone who maybe has industry experience with the industries we're targeting. Also people that have invested in companies that have grown, but that are kind of similar to the space that we're in, that are B2B, that are software as a service, that had kind of the same goals that we have. We really want to make collaborating something that's big and that's being used on a bigger scale than right now. So if we know that our investors have the same ambitions, that probably means they're going to push us and help us on the way that we're planning to go towards. So those are mostly things that, you know, if they've had experience with tools like ours, and if they feel as confident about our potential for growth as we do, and if they're willing to kind of push us along that way, not maybe with, you know, being super involved on an everyday basis, but, you know, tips and help and their kind of knowledge that they collected through working with startups.
Yeah. More advisors as well as investors. Yeah. I might have somebody that he actually has come on the podcast. He's from AirDeck. He appeared at my last event. And I'm going to connect you because he's an investor and he's in a similar space as you. It's more like customer onboarding with AirDeck. But I feel like there's definitely a worthwhile conversation there. So straight to rapid fire. Here we go. Name one of the company or CEO that inspires you, and why do they inspire you?
Oh my God, I'm really bad at this. I don't really follow any of the professionals, but honestly, my co-founder really inspired me early on. I would say him. He's been through a lot with the previous company, and he's still so optimistic and so dedicated to his work.
Perfect. Well, give him a shout out.
Yeah, if you're interested in things like AI, Web3, new technologies, Ivan is always down to talk. So you can find him on LinkedIn. He would be happy to talk.
So what was one of the best pieces of business advice you've received?
To just keep moving, you know, keep moving and give yourself the opportunity to get an opportunity. I'm not sure how much sense that makes in English, but if you're constantly in a closed space, nothing can happen. But if you put yourself out there and are doing good work continuously, something has to happen. It's going to be better than doing nothing. So
yeah,
you might as well.
Yeah, I would like to ditto that. The more you do, the harder you work, the more opportunities you have the potential of getting hold of. So what is the most valuable skill in business right now?
I think efficient communication. I think that that's one of the biggest things right now. Being able to explain your idea, being able to really bring value through how you're communicating, I think that's one of the very big skills right now.
Awesome. Thank you. That's unique. Nobody has ever answered that one yet, but it's so important. What motivates you the most?
I really like building things. I never thought that I would be an entrepreneur, but I realized, you know, I like drawing, I like painting, I like doing arts and crafts. And I realized that that kind of love of building things actually transfers very well into business. And I'm so grateful to every single user that has a positive or a negative experience, because they're really helping us build collaborating. I really wasn't sure if we were going to get to 1,000 users or 1,500 users. But it's making it all worthwhile when you see happy users and people really showing up to the platform.
Oh, yeah, I love that. I'm one of those don't know users. What was the last movie, book, or TV show that helped you in your role as the co-founder and CEO of Collaborating?
Oh, I actually read a really nice book. And I think it translates Not for Bread Alone, and it was by the founder of Panasonic, a Japanese company. And it's really amazing because they're like a traditional company. They were building electronics, but his principles of how he operated a company, you know, you could copy and paste it to like a Google newsletter and everyone would say how modern it is and how amazing it is. So that was one of the things that I read, and I was like, okay, so doing sound business and respecting people while you're doing business is something that can create amazing results. And it's not just, you know, fluffy talk, because a lot of time people would say, you know, our generation, everyone just wants to come to the office and not do anything and work flexibly and have, you know, games and stuff. But I'm not sure if that's fully true. I think that having a good, encouraging place of work also really helps the company create good results. So I think that book really, really was a nice read.
I've never heard of it either, so I'm definitely going to take this transcript and find that book.
Yeah, it's available online with one of the libraries. So I think the Australian Library has it online for free, so you can check it out. And it's more like stories broken up, and it's really a nice read. It's not super technical, it's not super complex, but it just very sound business thinking with very much respect towards his team and the company.
And just like most books that might seem like they were written 10 or 15 years ago, they're still relevant for today, the evergreen knowledge. So yeah.
I think this was written in like the 70s or 80s. So this is way back. This isn't a modern book by any sort of measure. And that's why it surprised me so much, because all of those principles, I think, are applying maybe in like more modern companies today. But this book really shows that you don't have to be like an IT company to be able to implement all of those things. You can be a very traditional company and still kind of function in the way that he explained.
That definitely sounds like an interesting read. So thanks for sharing something that, again, I've never heard. So thank you so much for joining me on SaaS Unlocked today. It's been fascinating to learn a little bit more about you after the previous event that we did, and to go a little bit deeper into what's happening inside of collaborating and how you're using it. For the rest of you that are listening, please thank Sandra social media. And for now, do you have anything, do you have a last message to send our listeners?
Oh, if you're thinking about giving something a shot in your career, I think you should go for it. If it's an interview, if it's an internship, whatever thing you want to do, even if you don't get it, you haven't had it in the first place. So why not try?
Perfect. Until next time, Chris Cowden from Insidia and SaaS Unlocked signing off.